hello from the Essex Book Festival podcast, bringing people's stories into your hearts and homes and the chance to spend some time walking in the shoes of a fellow human here on planet Earth. Today, our guest is Leo Capella, hailing from the north of Essex. Leo has many talents and skills. He's a writer, very apt for the book festival. And Leo is also today going to talk to us and educate us about autism. So welcome, Leo, and thank you for taking part in the Essex Book Festival podcast.
Thank you.
So autism, you know, there's many stereotypes, aren't there?
Yeah, there are.
Fairly classic, you know, Rain Man.
The curious, incident of the dog in the night time. Although, actually, there is some a lot of stuff coming out. There's sort of challenge and sort of can the rat give a more a broader experience of the autistic spectrum. I think both, and not just the sort of Rain Man savant type thing, it almost showing the severe so-called severe non-verbal side of it. I think there is a drama called There She Goes Out, and also the A Word Out, both of which being done, recently completed its third or fourth series, in fact third series. So,
interesting.
Yeah, it's stereotyped about autistic people also being the IT nerd. Actually, speaking as someone who studied politics, it's sort of those stereotypes tend to get overstated, and the fact is you find a lot of different people in surprisingly different places, which is one of the things that I've learned around being on the sort of being in the sort of field and just exploring it for around 15 years now. So yeah.
So yes, there is the stereotypes of being sort of socially awkward, a lack of empathy.
Yeah.
I find that a bit upsetting. A super genius and not connected. And actually there's also the typical thing of somebody feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And that to me might imply that somebody is actually more connected if they're overwhelmed by their surroundings.
A lot of those stereotypes, as you call them, are myths. I mean, the sort of super genius, that's only a specific type. The whole sort of lack of empathy, if anything, that's the whole theory we're getting it, that people on the spectrum have too much empathy, and actually the sort of cold genius type, actually people on the spectrum are very warm. It's almost like partly in certain cases anxiety playing a role, that it's almost like don't know how to express the word. So
yes.
Yeah, I mean, what goes unsaid, speaking from painful personal experience and sort of that kind of thing, is almost a really key theme with the autistic spectrum. And for all that, people talked about being direct, we can just tread on tiptoes just as much as the next person and find ourselves doing the splits too.
It is, because I often think throughout life it just feels that, you know, sometimes I forgot to pick up the handbook or someone didn't give me the handbook, so you know, the instruction manual for life.
Yeah.
And so is that what it feels like with autism and trying to navigate the complex rules, that somebody hasn't quite handed over the instruction manual?
Well, partly it's all the, I think the way I view autism is it's part of, is it makes me uneven, effectively. It's almost like whereas for a non-autistic person following a sort of so-called normal bell curve, power is distributed evenly through them. It means that for me, it's sort of that unevenness means I have power in the sort of big set pieces, but not so much power in the little getting to those set pieces. So I might have a good vision of A and B, but might struggle at all the hills and mountains in between.
So the motorways are good and the B roads tricky.
I should tell that to my mum, who insists on taking us down the B road, but actually the B roads are interesting in their own right, though. Yeah,
you've got to explore them sometimes.
Yeah, you have to. I know, it's actually, they are actually interesting for that reason alone.
Why do you think there are so many more people now with a diagnosis of autism than there was before?
I think people are becoming, as our understanding of autism has evolved, we've managed to shift, but also people becoming more conscious of autism and actually becoming more aware themselves. Actually, there's a poll being done on social attitude, and I'm not sure the status of it, but it would be interesting to see how much they've shifted. But we've had more figures come up and come through. I mean, Greta Thunberg is a good example of that.
Yeah.
I could identify myself as the sort of one of those people in sort of age terms who came through the first at least significantly diagnosed population. That was really...
Right, because you would have been like late 80s, maybe?
Yeah, late early 80s. 90s. Late 80s, early 90s. I was diagnosed when I was around 4 or 5, and then got my late... that was informally, but then I got a more formal diagnosis in my mid-20s.
You say to people around autism, I guess, a wish that you, things that you wish they could know, and ways in which they might be able to behave to improve your life.
Key rules around autism and disability: ask and ask again, and ask, can I help now, and ask, how can I help? And I actually learnt some those things from someone, and actually on a trip to Bristol. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, can I help and how can I help?
Yeah. Yes. Can I help you and how can I help you? And that was actually from, I think, a visually impaired person. Can't remember his name, infuriatingly enough, off the top of my head. That is the one thing that I do get annoyed about. my sometimes is sort of summoning inability to summon the sort of thing.
Vital bits of information.
But those two things are the standard rule with disability. And also, just take a long, hard look around. I know that actually what I'm... me showing up today is almost me popping my head like an iceberg peering above the surface of the water. Now, this is true for any field, but if you were to descend down, you would see that me being here would be part of the hidden depths. And actually, not everybody will get to the bottom of that iceberg. This is because it's almost like the pressure of the sort of, and also the distance of that sort of iceberg compared to your other interests, it sort of will affect you. And that might mean that it will get to a point that you will think, sorry, I can't go through. But as long as you that's fine. Some people will just skip across the surface and just think twice. But as long as you appreciate the hidden depths below, and that sometimes they may ask you to give due regard.
Yes.
That's the thing. I mean, we're in a challenging time at the moment as a human being, because I think before COVID, and yes, dare I say it, and I'm at risk of getting 100 torch-bearing people coming at me with Brexit. We are having to balance a hard act between diversity and accountability. And I'm not just talking about autism. In fact, if anything, my experiences around the autism field have made me reflect it. Because I'd say we're navigating a great passage, put it this way. If we survive the next 10, maybe the next century, it will be because we've instead of tearing up into explosive fragments, we found a shared space between those fragments, and found that right balance between pursuing hopes and fueling fears. And that's not easy, but it's the challenge of our own century. And I think if we get through and find that sort of right sort of idea, then we will proceed into future ones far more confident as a human race.
Well, exactly. So, do you have any last words of wisdom?
Last words of wisdom coming from autistic people. Where do I start? But look around, study hard, stay curious. And don't ever think you've got the answers, because to all the answers. I think one person at a wedding said, "You're not the finished article." At a wedding I went to in Canada, said, "You're not the finished article until you're dead." So stay hungry, stay humble, stay curious, and you'll get somewhere.
That is a fantastic note to end on. And thank you, Leo. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.